Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It's
so funky.
Welcome to another episode of Small Doses, guys. Today, we are getting into
side effects of being woke.
Now, I know woke is overused, but it worked for the title. Okay. And also because at the end of the day, like, people still know what that means, right? The people who are using it in the proper way know that woke simply means being aware and being conscious of what needs to be changed and challenged in our social sphere to create equality and to end discrimination. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
That is our guest for today, Kendrick, My Shirt's Always Open Samson. And he's also Kendrick, I be at every activist movement Samson. And that is why he is here, because I do a lot of talking, I do a lot of donating, and I do my best, but Kendrick be physically on the front lines whenever he can, and it is very admirable. And we're going to talk more about it on People I Like. But first, let's drop a couple jams.
Jam dropping, jam dropping, jam dropping. We dropping on these hoes.
The wokery. You know, we see it all the time on these internets. Folks who go from being woke to being problematic. We saw it in this season, that is season two, of Dear White People, when our girl Joelle, my boo Ashley Blaine Featherston, realized, hold up, are you a hotep? No! We're gonna gen drop the difference between conscious versus hotep. Now, for one to be conscious, it simply is just stating that you are not fooled by the foolery. And there is a whole lot of that going on. I mean, let's not even get into the realities of this whole concept of alternative facts. The fact that that was literally introduced as like a thing, when it's literally just a synonym for lying, that lets you know the state of the world where we are. But if you are a Black person in particular, you have grown up being lied to simply just by existing in the regular school system. You're lied to by omission. Okay? Like, we never were taught about, like, slave uprisings. We were never taught about, like, the true realities behind Martin Luther King's messaging. We were never really taught about Malcolm X. Like, all of this extra stuff you kind of had to, like, find out either in your home or through other means of education. A lot of us, not even until we got to college, did we really get to understand, like, the true inner workings of what this system and what this country and what the history of this place has done for, to, and continues to do for Black people. And that extends beyond just Black people. I mean, let's not even get into the realities of what it is meant to be Asian in this country, what it is meant to be Latino in this country, and what it has meant to be a cat in this country. Lando just wanted to chime in just as an animal. But also, I mean, who has taken the biggest L in this country? We all know. The Native Americans, okay? They've taken the biggest L in this country, the indigenous people of this land, completely just set aside, cast away, and put upon by a bunch of greedy motherfuckers. And we were not taught about that in that way, you know? So I feel like there's a certain level of consciousness that is rooted in the fact that you have educated yourself and are aware of the fact that there are false truths that have been ingrained in this society, and that you are working to challenge them and to change them. When you delve into hotepery, or no-tepness, as I call it, or as some of us simply just call it, as being a hotep, hoteps are folks who use that consciousness as a foundation upon which to create new falsehoods, new lies, and new problematic paradigms. And therefore, they are no better than the oppressors that they seek to fight. Can I say that again?
They are no better than the oppressors that they seek to fight.
This is a very important distinction to make, because when we are able to acknowledge these things, we're able to see who really is about solution, who is about change. When you have people who are now using the foundation of consciousness to create more divisiveness, they're hoteps. When you have people who are using the foundation of consciousness to create more patriarchy, they're hoteps. When you have people who are using the foundation of consciousness to create more oppression for fringe groups, for suppression of identity, for suppression of feminism, all of these things, that's hoteps. And we see it quite often. You know, it's hoteps who say that I am not sexually attractive because I have an opinion. Those are hoteps. It's hoteps who say that gay people are ruining our children and ruining Black America. Those are hoteps. It's hoteps who continue to carry forth messaging that is harmful to simply just wanting to be able to be an individual with your own choices that don't hurt anybody and that also allow you to have equal rights with everybody. Now, I think this is very important to acknowledge, because we are in a place now, in a time and space, where basically everybody can have a platform. You know, all you got to do is have Wi-Fi and you can have a platform. And so in doing so, you have to acknowledge that people are going to be listening to what you're saying. People are going to be responding to what you're saying. People are influenced by what you're saying. And so you have to be conscious of what you're saying. And that consciousness is something that I take very, very seriously. That's why I get so goddamn irritated when folks try to insinuate for even a second that I'm lacking consciousness, especially even in my silence. You know, I think that we have to acknowledge that some things don't need to be spoken on right away. Some things actually take time. Some things actually take processing. And some things actually require research. And I think that oftentimes when we have a certain level of consciousness, people think like, oh, that means you're supposed to respond immediately. Case in point, Donald Glover's video for This Is America. When This Is America came out, everybody was like down my throat, because they were like, why aren't you talking about it? Aren't you supposed to be conscious? Aren't you supposed to be conscious? And it's like, okay, I am conscious. That's how I know the goddamn video is out. But that doesn't change the fact that my consciousness means that I know when I need to take a step back. I know when it's time to be thoughtful in a whole other level of patience. I know when silence is actually a better stance for me. And I think the frustrating part of these internets is that you have all people that are coming in from different entry points of perspective, different entry points of information, different entry points of ego, etc. And they all feel like everything that they're saying is the right thing that needs to be said. And I think a lot of us understand like what's good for somebody else is not good for us. And I think that's a big part of being conscious, is being aware of the fact that there are individuals and there are like groups of people that have had different experiences and different levels of oppression and different levels of privilege, different levels of greatness, different levels of talent, of worth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so you have to be able to acknowledge like, okay, when we're speaking about those people and what's going on in those groups, I have to apply the specificities of those people and those groups. Hoteps seek to undermine those realities. Hoteps are basically rooted in ego. And at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that you have to just be a man to be a hotep. There's plenty of pick-me women out here supporting this goddamn foolery as well. Hoteps will sell you the notion that you shouldn't challenge any Black man or any Black person to their actions, because that's undermining the Black man. Hoteps will tell you that you saying that you want to be a part of upliftment and empowerment by challenging and critiquing Black men to challenge and critique themselves is you being a part of the white oppressive mind state. Get the fuck out of here, B. Hoteps are incredibly detrimental, because they do not understand the realities of the change that has been happening for quite some time amongst especially women in this world. And they also fail to understand that there is a way that the world is, there's a way that the world should be, and there's a way that the world may be that you want it to be. And those things don't always align. And that's what consciousness is about. Consciousness is about knowing the difference, the distinct difference between those three things, and knowing that there are things that you can do to change those things, and there's things that you maybe can't do. But at the end of the day, everyone has a right to their happiness as long as they ain't fucking up somebody else's. And I don't know about y'all, But I feel like Hoteps be making up their business. They be waking up like, who am I going to fuck with today?
We're serving it.
I feel like we got some really good questions for the DMTs this time. I really do, because y'all know that this is a topic that I hold near and dear. You know, the word woke, like we said, it's kind of like overused, but it doesn't change the reality. Like, it's a state of being, it's a consciousness. I mean, I remember when I was, you know, coming up in hip hop in like the early 2000s, I mean, that was the whole thing. Conscious rappers, you know, like the whole roster of Raucous Records, you know, and you have like Mos Def and Talib Kweli. Who, you know, who else is a black star? Who, me? And we shining, cause they rising and rising, you know, and all that. They're doing songs called like Knowledge of Self-Determination, you know, and then you have Common and Dead Prez, and there was all this conversation around that. And now you have like cats like J. Cole and Kendrick, and it's become like more mainstream to be quote unquote conscious, you know, put Big Crit in there as well. And I think all it really is about is just like people rapping about an experience that's broader than just their own specific unique experience, right? And I think that that's what like gangster rap came from. It's like, this is the shit that I'm dealing with and I'm only talking about me. Whereas consciousness was like, this is not only what I'm dealing with, but this is how this ended up being the thing I'm dealing with, and this is like the things that trickle down to create a bigger problem for other people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's the same thing with like comedy. You know, I feel like a lot of people do comedy to make people laugh. I do comedy to make people think. So I guess like you could consider me like a conscious comic. I'm going to start wearing only Kente cloth on stage. That's that. But when it comes to being woke, you know, especially in like the social media space, I think it's really important that we reference that space, because it has become a very unique space for idea exchange and for conversation. And we've literally seen like revolutions. I mean, Tahrir Square in Egypt started because of like the use of Twitter and the internet. And, you know, when we see how things went down in Ferguson, et cetera, it's like information exchange that's happening via these social networks and the interwebs is a different aspect of how we are looking at change. I always say the one difference between now and the civil rights movement and every other movement that came before us is the internet. There's no difference in, I don't think that there's really a difference in anger. I don't think there's a difference in terms of awareness that there needs to be change. I don't think there's like a conceptual difference. I think it really is just the tools at hand. So the wokeness that takes place in the internet space can be doozifying. And I'm curious to see if you guys, yes, doozifying is a term I've coined. It means doozy. First question. Do you get tired of being the spokesperson, constantly having to educate folk, especially when people really just want to debate? Yes and no. I mean, I think that there's like certain purposes that we're brought here for, and I feel like one of mine is literally just to like be an educator to a certain extent. But to your point, like when people just want to debate, it's like I get so lost. Like I like have to realize that. Sometimes I don't realize that that's what they really want to do. And so then I get caught up in an exchange with like someone who's fucking Avi is a zebra. And I'm just like, damn it. Like I'm arguing with a zebra. It's just, you know, and it really is me coming from a place of like, I just want to like get people to stop being dumb, you know? And I do think that like a lot of folks have a lot of willful ignorance. I do feel like a lot of folks have been brainwashed by a system, and I want to wake them the fuck up. And sometimes I get like genuinely just like frustrated with the folks who are so rooted in just like being wrong. And then folks will be like, well, who are you to think you're right? Trust me, I'm right. Trust me. Like, I'm a lot of other things, but I'm also right like 90% of the time. And I don't think y'all know how annoying that is. Okay, because it's really like a curse. Ignorance is bliss, because when you write and you on this internet, you're gonna be stressed. You're gonna be stressed. I be knowing doesn't come from like a place of ego. That comes from a place of pressure. Next question. Since you've been open about your anxiety, do you ever find yourself getting woke fatigue or increased anxiety as a result of all the bad in the world? I definitely feel that ever so often. I mean, I think it's just like we see, especially recently, like, you know, I had to stop waking up and looking at my phone first. I literally saw a meme. Brandon loves when I say this. I saw a meme that said, y'all waking up and looking at your phone, don't even know if your legs can work yet. Like, you don't even know if you can physically walk, but you looking at your Instagram. And I was like, wow, that does sound really ridiculous. And I had to catch myself because I definitely do that dumb shit every day. Like, it's like I wake up and I think about life for 2 seconds. I'm like, but what's up with these DMs, though? And that's not a way to live. And so what I've done now is I've started making myself, like, I get up. I just make sure that there's, like, no, like, immediate texts or emails that I have to respond to. But I get up and I stretch and I, you know, just take in the world first. And then I will look at my phone. Yo, but the first morning that I did that, I had to, like, really, like, stop myself. Like, it was actually difficult. But I think it's so important because the first thing that comes up in my phone a lot of times is, like, this is the latest Black person who has been attacked, you know, by the police or by a racist person or who had the cops call them. This is the latest child who's being reunited with their parent after being broken apart from them for 3 weeks by this fucking Trump-ass administration. You know, this is the latest example of police brutality. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like that's the first thing that you take in the morning. And it's like it's kind of it sets your mind state in emotion that is about, like, stress from the minute you wake up. And it's not like you can get away from those negativities, but I do feel like I've had to do better at tempering them and at being conscious of how conscious I am of them at all times, because I can't do anything about a lot of them in a micro way. Right. In a macro way, it's like we can continue to encourage people to stay hopeful and continue to encourage people to stay educated and continue to encourage officers who claim to be good cops to challenge the cops that are bad cops and, you know, continue to encourage people to go out and vote, get out to dethrone these problematic district attorneys and these problematic judges. And, you know, like we can do that. But my anxiety comes in the fact that, like, sometimes it just feels like it's just not enough. You know, sometimes it feels like I'm just like talking to a wall. Sometimes it just feels like I'm talking to a bunch of people that don't want to overcome. And I think that's like the biggest feeling. Like you're building an arc for folks who don't want to board but are afraid to learn how to swim.
That got deep real quick.
But that's how it be feeling sometimes. And that's when the anxiety comes in. And then, you know, you have these little moments that save your day. You know, like when you see like all these young men that are saved in Thailand and how everybody came together to build them, you know, to break them out of that cave. And you're just like, all right, we're okay. You know, I follow a site called The Dodo on Instagram. And it's just all animal rescues. And I mean, if you're trying to get your day better, watch them save a dog. Okay. Watch them save a deer that fell in a ditch, and they got to get this deer out. And these three rednecks, who probably will call you nigger, but at that moment, they're focused on this deer. They get that deer out. Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. Doe a deer. A female deer. Ray, a drop of golden sun. Me, an ape. I call myself fall. A long, long way to run. And then you have like stuff like that happen because you really do have joy in your heart. You know? I have joy in my heart. And I think the biggest part is like I have that anxiety happen. I have that part, that frustration happen. But I don't know, man. Somehow I came in this world with some extra pocket of joy. You know how you have that jacket that has that little pocket and you're like, what's that pocket for? Is that for weed? Or is that for like my microphone in case I need to be an informant into a, you know, a government situation, whatever it is, my pocket is like a little bit of joy. And that's why I keep mine. So I need a pulling thread. I know to follow some. Don't make me fall so loud. Tea to drink with jam and bread. And that will bring us back to bring us back to bring us back to do. Yeah. Next question. Is there really such a thing as being too woke? Abso-fucking-lutely. Some of y'all are so woke, you're sleepwalking. Okay? You're awake in a dream. It's wokeception. Spin the totem. Let it fall. Some of y'all are so woke that you forget when to laugh, okay? Some of y'all are so woke that you forget when to be like, man, fuck that shit. You gotta fuck that shit, certain things. You know what I mean? Like, not everything is worth commenting on. Trust me, I'm too woke sometimes. And people have to be like, it's not that deep. Now, the reason why I do comment on certain things where people be like, it's just a joke, is because jokes are 60-40 minimum. Meaning 60 truth, 40 joke. Or 60 joke, 40 truth. And you have to know the difference. Sometimes, though, that should be 90 truth, 10% joke. And you're looking at somebody trying to act like it's a joke when really they're saying what they really mean. And that can really be problematic when you see someone like pushing misogynist agendas or racist agendas. This is how you get comics to show up to open mics and be like, oh, you know, it's just a joke. And it's like, no, you actually just offended literally everyone in the room. Like, there's a Jewish person, a gay person, a black person, and a dog. And you managed to literally offend all of us because you thought it was like a joke. No. So like, there is a way to be too woke. I think that a certain level of too woke is literally just like kind of living in a conspiracy theorizing kind of mind state that isn't really practical or helpful for your daily life. And that can get you in, you know, just a depression. It can get you in a place of anxiety that you can't get out of. And it's like, you can't do anything. Too woke is simply like when you get to a point where like, you know so much that you can't process it within the space and time within which we live. That's how people end up committing suicide. That's how people end up going crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like Paul Robeson, unfortunately, just, he's became too woke. You know, his brain just like, it's just like it had so much insight and input information. He didn't have a ways and means to deal with it and manage it with the people around him and with the society that we live in. He went to Russia and they like took his passport. And you know what I mean? It was just like, it was just too much. And as artists, that can really, really, really happen. Because artists already have a certain brain setup. And then if you're a genius, like your brain's on some other like twitchy shit at that. So you're already walking a line. And if you cross that line and you fall over into the black abyss of wokery, you may not come back out. I always tell people, like, be careful how deep you dive in, because you may need to come back up for air. And you want to make sure that you have people around you that can be like, hey, come on. I think we all do it in the thirst for knowledge and the quest for awareness and in the hopes of being a part of influencing change. We all do. We all get into that space, you know, but it's like, you got to come back. I always say, and I said it earlier in the show, and I'll say it again. There's the world we live in. There's the world we would like to live in. And then there's the world we should live in. And none of those things are in your individual control.
Last question.
I know the feeling of being woke, but it's a struggle when you're around people that don't get you and you feel alone and they look at you like you crazy.
He typed crazy.
How would you deal with or react to a situation like that? I've said this on the cast before. It's like, sometimes it's like, don't change what you're saying, change who you're saying it to. You know, in those situations, I mean, that's what it is to be on the internet so often. It's like you're talking to a bunch of people who, for all intents and purposes, don't have the same access to information as you, but yet want to tell you that you're wrong. And that's when things go from a debate to an argument, you know? And it's like, that's when people will be like, oh, you, Amanda, you don't even want to answer people because you feel like you're above them. It's like, no, it's not that I don't feel, it's not that I feel like I'm above them, but how they have approached this conversation has made it explicitly clear that they're not coming with facts. I'm coming with facts. I'm only saying the shit in the first place because I know. So why would I even have a conversation with them outside of that? They don't even know how to have sense. And it's like, when you're in that situation, I feel like it sounds like to me like you're at a dinner with friends and you're saying something that is obvious and yet everyone around you is like, what? I went to a similar dinner with Katy Perry and Caitlyn Jenner. And I'm just like, is everyone going to really pretend like me saying that Donald Trump could go the direction of Hitler? Is like, is that really so fucking far-fetched? Really? Because I don't know if y'all were there when they said that, oh, Barack Obama could go the direction of Hitler. I'm always amazed. You know, I feel like, you know, you sound like somebody who's like me, where like you looking around like, so y'all just gonna act like nothing, like none of this shit ever happened? And I think we can feel gaslit in those situations. And when you're in a situation like that, the best thing to do, in my opinion, is to either shut it up, leave, or play Candy Crush. because you don't want to waste your energy. One of the key gifts of wokeness, key components of wokeness, is knowing who's awake and who you can wake up. Because you do not want to expel all your energy trying to shake somebody into consciousness who's already gone.
People I like. Yeah.
So today on People I Like, as you heard at the top of the episode, we have Kendrick Sampson. You know, Kendrick and I met under very mysterious circumstances that will eventually be revealed, but not today. But you all know Kendrick from How to Get Away with Murder. Kendrick be acting. Vampire Diaries. You be acting. But you, more so than the acting, you be activisting. Ooh.
You verbed it.
Yeah, I did. Because that is what black people do with words.
I'm proud of you.
Kendrick is an actor, but he's also low-key hilarious, and also he can sing, but he won't, and I have an issue with it, and we have a long-standing feud about this, because he'll like do shit like, if you're singing Happy Birthday, he'll be like Happy Birthday, and he'll be like, to you, and you're like, whoa, I heard it in there, and you're like, he's like, nah, you ain't heard shit, I said to you, and you're like, no, I heard you crooned. There was croonery. I heard it. And he's like, nah, my brother be singing. And so, like, I feel it. I know it's there. It's within his spirit. And I really felt like when he didn't show up to Smart, Funny, and Black on time and we had to do the show last minute with Robert Glasper, that it was a perfect time for me to hold it over his head and be like, all right, this is what you have to do to make up for it. I need you to sing New Editions, Can You Stand the Rain? But I didn't, because I'm a good person. Instead, I just said, you got to take me to dinner. So... that's that, because I never eat and it forces me to eat. So Kendrick, more so than just his front and ass ability to sing, it really is an exemplification of the kind of artists and creatives that really help give Hollywood purpose beyond just making, like, you know, TV shows and movies that we can entertain ourselves with. And I think that a lot of us look to folks with platforms to use them to, like, advance messaging and to create change and to actually, like, be a part of challenging a system that is oppressive. And oftentimes we're let down. You know, oftentimes we're let down by these folks. But then you have people like Kendrick who kind of just... always impresses. Even when he puts up like pictures of himself being a modelly ass nigga, he will still under the picture be like, sign this petition so we can have prison reform in California. And it's like, I call that what did I call it?
Thirstivism.
So it's a thirst trap, but it's thirst traptivism. Okay? He is trapping you with thirst into activism. And I think it's noble. Did you just snort? I think it's noble. Were you always like this? Like, were you the kid that was like, we need to stand up for better lunch? Like, the school lunches always have stale milk.
Yeah, something like that. But it was always more selfish than that. I was like, you know, my theater program was actually really good, but it was really racist.
You're from Houston?
Yeah.
Did you go to HSPBA?
No. I would have had to pay for that.
Oh, okay.
My mom was like, nah, I ain't paying for you. But she supported me outside, but not in HSPBA.
Okay.
And you had to be within the HSD limits. Anyway. So I went to Elkins High School and in Fort Bend County. And
okay, Tejas.
We'll be in
Houston with Smart, Funny, and Black on August 13th.
Damn. Hey, everybody got to go out and get that. It was funny. I watched it.
Because
I was so late. But I enjoyed it. And it was funny as hell. It was racist. And I would go to the principal and be like, this is racist. This is why. Why can we only do August Wilson? Why can't we do the Crucible? Why? Right. And why are you trying to make things race specific in high school? Like, you don't have the pool of actors to cast from. Like, just...
we can just do Our Town and have everybody be whoever.
Exactly. And so I would have to do... I did a lot of that and tried to bring a step team after our step team was disbanded and could only be through ROTC because it was unsafe and unsafe and probably a gang. Like high school step teams and fraternities and sororities were looked at as like gangs.
What kind of school is this?
Oh yeah, we had
high school dance teams were looked at. What is this? The Jets?
Well, you know, it's a dance team of black people. So.
I know, but they're acting like this is like West Side Story.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So I did that a lot, but I didn't ever look at it as activism. And when I came out to LA when I was 18, I started writing scripts and trying to, one, make sure that I wasn't doing, because most of the stuff available to me was like a drug dealer going to jail or, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So making sure that I wasn't.
You could be Jeremy Meeks. I mean, he comes up in a Google search of your name.
That is, that's accurate. That's true.
So in the lifetime intimate portrait.
That's the only one I'll actually agree with that one. That one's actually true. I don't know how interesting that story would be, but I think.
He just married like an heiress.
He did. And I would imagine.
People keep talking about Blac Chyna and I'm like, and Meghan Markle. And I'm like, did you see what he did?
The ultimate hustler. I'm proud of him.
Like he secured the bag. He literally inserted it into someone's body and secured the bag.
I hope that, you know, his child's mother is all taken care of. Better be.
Right.
And the children or else.
The ones he had before this drone.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about the new. Yeah. So, but anyway, I digress. Yeah, I tried not to, go out on any auditions, even with nothing on my resume that was going to be degrading to people of color.
How'd that work out?
For the most part, I still have the same. The thing is, I had a black agent. She was an assistant at the time, but my white agents, I love them to death. But you know, they would say when I booked something that she sent me on it, Fatmata Kamara, and now she's at CAA, and you know, she was the only black agent at Abrams.
What's her name?
Fatmata Kamara.
I thought I knew every black person at CAA. Fatmata Kamara, I'm coming for you.
She just moved over.
To CAA?
Not too long ago, yeah.
Oh, she just got there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I haven't met her yet. Okay, Fatmata, I'm coming to see you.
She's amazing. And I wanted, you know, people of color on my team, and I was very strategic about that. But she came into my life without me being strategic and as an assistant was submitting me.
Dope.
And so she understood, and I didn't have to explain slavery to her every time I didn't want to do a role. you know.
Wait, please, let's role play real quick. So explain slavery to me. I'm your agent. So Kendrick, we've got this role where you'll be playing an individual named Samson. And Samson it takes place in Detroit in 2037. And slavery has been reinstated, and your character has been brought back from time. It's called, the movie is called Negropocalypse.
Oh.
And your character is brought back from time to lead an uprising because slavery is back in full effect.
Oh. Yeah, okay, so here's the thing about that is that's it's impossible for slavery to come back because it didn't ever leave.
Okay.
So,
this is an interesting take. Okay.
So, like, you know, slavery just kind of morphed into Jim Crow and arresting black people for no reason to put them back on the plantation, of which this morning they found 100 bodies in Sugar Land, Texas, my hometown, which was not a proud moment for me. But
so is this something that you're like read about, or is this like something you saw like in a movie, or is this
nope,
is
it's real?
Oh,
it's real. It's real stuff. It's real stuff. And then you know, so it just morphed into the mass incarceration, you know, industrial complex, and you know, it's still going on today. And you know, they're using immigrants and brown and black people for slavery, free labor, or they pay them pennies.
So you don't want to go out.
I don't think I should. I'm just thinking maybe there's another project that might be better suited for me, because you know, then I will have to explain all this to the casting director and the writer and maybe the director, and you know, okay, then they might not want me to do this project. Then I don't know, the title. Is a little problematic.
It's a working title. Yeah.
It might be indicative of like the people that wrote it and maybe some problems with.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we have another one that we'll send your way. We just got the sides in for Negroes with Emotions, which is part two to the NWA film. Whoa. So
make sure that you submit that to Fatmata first.
N-words with emotions. Yeah, because Negroes is the N-word that white people can't say. So I was just saying that. But it really is. I respect your culture and your ethnicity. Oh. So I leave the double G's out.
Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Thank you.
But this is real.
Send that to me.
What'd you say?
I said, yeah, just don't send that
just
to me.
Just don't send that. Fair enough. But I can understand that, like, you know, but when you...
Follow up the NWA. Anyway, go ahead.
So when did it morph into like you being so involved in like on the ground stuff? Because I know like when I first got to LA, I was really like, yeah, I want to be more involved in organizing and activism. And I just kept having such a hard time with like finding groups that were like actually doing stuff. Like, and I would be like trying to set up shit and like go shit, and people would just be flaking. And I'm like, how can I be more effective? And so it ended up where I just felt like, well, man, I can always depend on myself, so I'm going to just, like, use my platform. But I see that you, and especially, like, Matt McGorry, who's my favorite woke white, that you guys be out and about.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it got more involved right before How to Get Away with Murder, which was 2015. And to be, unfortunately, I can't remember which death catalyzed it. Police brutality, because we organized a march, and I don't know if it was Mike Brown, I Can't Breathe. I don't know if it was
Sandra Bland.
I mean, not Eric Garner,
Sterling.
I Can't Breathe, Mike Brown, or yeah, I don't know which one.
Yeah.
I remember afterwards. I think it was Eric Garner, because I remember a bunch of people wearing tape over their mouth and saying, I can't breathe, that said, I can't breathe. And just trying to figure out, I was being more subversive at that time, trying to like interview undercover cops and like, you know, see how they possibly couldn't think there was a problem, and if they would tell me off the record that there was a problem. And you know, trying to flip and infiltrate and not be seen as an angry black man, and be so vocal about it. And then I just kind of said, fuck it. And I was just like, I can't stay silent. Yeah, yeah, I can't stay silent about it. So I started using my platform more and more, on social media, and looking for groups, like you said, you know, trying to organize people, and then they wouldn't show up and all that. And then connected with Black Lives Matter. And then this group we tried to organize of a bunch of black celebrities, which was interesting. And when they didn't, you know,
yeah,
anyway.
Because folks don't want to jeopardize, quote unquote, their brand or jeopardize their relationships, quote unquote. That's the only reason why the Caitlyn Jenner thing popped off so crazy, is because I basically like said some shit that most people really just wouldn't say because they're afraid.
I loved.
Oh, Kendrick.
I said, hold up.
You're not seeing the hand. The pimp.
But yeah, I mean, like saying those things that people are uncomfortable with and just going for it, and you know, realizing that people can't stay quiet.
Do people question you because your mother is white and you're light skin and you have light eyes? Because I be getting all that, even though I have a black mother and brown eyes.
Yep, I've heard that.
Like, but what
on
is
your side?
Oh, you got it. They don't question you because you're fine.
No, they definitely question me. And you know, it's like a light skin guilt, or is it like, you know, like a bunch of interesting questions. I actually even had some editors. One prominent editor in particular say that I sounded like somebody who grew up with a white mom and played chess or something like that, and really wanted to make up for. Yeah, it was something, and then people started attacking her on Twitter.
Nice.
But, and she like deleted it, but I screenshot it. But
I want to see it.
But you know, I had people in high school make up rumors that my mom wasn't white, that I was just saying that just to have some sort of clout.
That's more a reflection of them than you.
Yeah, I've had some pretty bizarre ones, but for the most part, I think, you know, we always remember the crazy comments. We always remember the negative comments. But I will say,
I literally said that on the last episode.
Overwhelmingly, so I get
a lot of positive.
I get a lot of positive and support, especially from people that don't want to do activism because they want to.
They want to smash.
No.
Y'all, I was live on Kendrick's Instagram one time for all of 20 minutes, and the amount of DMs I got, like, girl, what you doing? Well, you need to be dating him. Did he smash? Do you smash? Do y'all smash? I'm like, relax. Relax. I mean, we're pretty. Like, that's a fact. But relax. Please.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, they're on him. It's the light eyes. You're giving us, like, I was about to say something so wild.
I'm scared.
You are, because you're like the, how do I put it?
I'm so scared.
No, it's like the, you're like Splenda Jesse Williams. You know what I mean?
Like, what does that mean?
Because it's like healthier. Because right now people are like not really fucking with Jesse, you know? And so they're like, oh, but I can fuck with you because you don't have any scandal around you. You know, like, even though Jesse is doing the work and like he's creating dope stuff and whatnot, like, he has scandal attached to him, so people feel like conflicted. But with you, it's like, this is guilt-free sugar. I get indulgence.
So that's not where I was going with it.
No?
I appreciate it. I will be the Splenda Jesse Williams. But but I was thinking more so like people hitting me up who don't want to do the work. And I'm sure people say this to you a lot as well. Thank you for speaking up. Because I don't know how I would be able to, and I'm like, you can.
You say lines, so you can say this too.
You can do it too.
Yeah.
And even, you know, people without platforms, I don't have the platform, I can't speak up, and I'm scrolling down their page like, you ain't said shit
about
you
anything.
Could repost what I say. You can repost what somebody else says, but
people just want something to say sometimes though.
Yeah. Thank you so much for you doing that work. So I actually
feel like I'm lucky because I have a following that's like really active, and that's I think that they've really like shown me like, okay, it's not in vain, like the stuff that we talk about and like the work that you're doing, like it does translate. Like I see them going out and, you know, doing shit in their communities and being a part of really trying to make things happen. And it's like, okay, so we're not all just caught up in the Instagram of it all.
Yeah.
Even like selling out Smart, Funny, and Black on the tour, like, was to me indicative of like, oh, y'all like want something different,
right,
that actually has meat to it, and you're gonna go buy tickets as opposed to just be like, girl, that's dope, but I'm gonna be on this shade room now. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather be home just looking at stuff rather than like actually helping to move something forward. But yeah. I think that I want to thank you for the work you're doing.
And I want to thank you for always speaking out and saying dope shit. But I do, I also have some, I will say, you know, I take for granted some of the people that are following me that are like hardcore activists that are doing a lot more than I'm doing.
Right.
I will say that, and some people that come up to me and be like, you know, I'm following you and thank you for it. And I'm like,
thank
you. Please don't ever thank me again. Right. Like, you
but
are.
But it's multi-pronged.
For sure.
I think that, like, we got to do shit so that those folks also like know that their work isn't in vain and that right. they're being heard, you know, and also it's like it kind of serves each other, right? Because if their work isn't getting recognized, then they can't keep doing the work in a certain way, because it's like I feel like when we can amplify, you know, it gives more visibility to work that's being done that needs to be done, which can also get more funds, et cetera, more support, more armies behind it, et cetera, which speaks to our next segment.
That one time.
And on this segment, we tell a story in regards to our theme. And since today's theme is side effects of being woke, is there a particular experience that you had, either positive or negative, attached to your awareness? Like, I'll start us off to give you a little heads up. Like, I'll actually talk about the Caitlyn Jenner thing, because I have been in this business of entertainment since I was 8. SAG-94. And I hate Kendrick's face. And I don't like what he does with it when he makes faces. Just so we're clear. And I've done so many different things. Like, I've been a VJ. I've been a poet. I've done all this stuff. I never would have thought that simply just being woke in a space where it needed to exist would have been kind of like the thing to like catapult my voice to a space of acceptance. I won't say recognition, because it's more so acceptance, because if you're someone like me, like, you've been talking like this, but it's almost like people either try and silence it, or they try and dismiss it, or they act like, you're so misunderstood. I don't understand what you're about. But in that space, it for some reason just all the stars aligned, whereas like it gave me the opportunity to like be my full woke self in a way that people received, and it wasn't able to be misconstrued as like, oh, you're trying to show off, or oh, you're an angry black woman, which is the big one, right? And it like I just never thought that would be the thing that got people to truly understand like my true passion for like blackness, and for, you know, challenging discrimination, and for just waking people the fuck up, you know, like I never saw that coming. And it was the only time I've literally ever in my entire life, especially with these internets, I never saw one negative comment, not one. Like, literally, I'd be reading comments, and I never saw one negative. I know, I don't know why I do it. It's really masochism. But I never saw one negative comment. And I thought that was like, that for me was just very encouraging, because there are people that will tell us like, nah, you might be talking too much. You know what I'm saying? Or you're being so negative, or, you know, is this really where you want to plant your flag? You know, and I think that as performers, you know, there's always kind of like this semblance of, is this going to get in the way of like getting a role or getting sponsorship or whatever? I don't really care, because I feel like it's my authentic self, and if I can't be that, then I don't want to do this. But I saw like positive side effects of being woke in a way that I feel like doesn't necessarily happen too often. A lot of times I feel like people's side effects of being woke are like, you know, like they feel like they got ostracized, or, you know, you end up getting written up at work, or, you know, you have a Jemele Hill situation where it's like, I'm just literally saying the facts, and now I'm being challenged by the presidency and by right. my job. And it's like, yeah. I'm literally saying just like, this is what everybody knows, you know? And so like, I feel like that happens so much more. And I was just kind of like blown, but appreciative, of course. But, you know, I feel like you're still like, you're in a space where like people really like, they like you. You know, and like they don't. Do you feel like it's hindered or helped you, or is there a specific instance where you like a story where you like maybe met somebody that you admired, or you saw the results of something? Because I think that's the other frustrating part of this wokeness, is like feeling like you're working in vain sometimes, and then just like everybody don't want to get woke.
Yeah, no, most people don't. But most people want to stay asleep. They think it's easier, but it's not. You're still suffering.
I'd rather
misinformed.
Know. Yeah, you know.
And yeah. So, I have, you know, I can't. There's so many different situations where I will say that I'm saying positive. Mm-hmm. The first one that comes to mind is negative, but it goes positive in my opinion. But like many people that I've met, that, you know, have thanked me or said something positive to me that I'm like, I didn't think you knew who I was, and I didn't think you'd ever know who I was. And these are activists that I'm like, I strongly admire and have like idolized, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. There's been some really cool moments. But I think the one moment that came to me that I said that I, in my mind, like, don't share that, which makes me want to share it more.
Yeah.
When I was on the Bernie Sanders campaign, which I got a lot of flack for, I did an interview and I was misunderstood, and had to go back and say, like, to myself, what did I say wrong in this interview? No, I meant everything I said. How did I say it wrong? Why did I offend people? And then I got attacked by some journalists, some prominent journalists, and people that I admire, not a whole lot of them, but three of them, that
publicly attacked?
Yeah.
So you're not going to say their names?
No, I don't want to.
Even if it happened in public?
Yeah, I don't want to drag it back up. But they like trolled me hard, and I was like, instead of like seeing a young black dude and DMing them and saying, yo, I think that this is how you should do it, I think they handled it wrong. But the thing that I did realize about it is I could correct my mistake, and I learned how to, even when you're, you know, considered, quote, woke, mm-hmm. unquote, that you still are going to make mistakes.
Yes.
And especially when you're speaking up for, or including a group of people that you're not familiar with. If I'm like, I'm not Muslim, you mm-hmm. know, and if I want to speak up for Muslim people, I'm going to say some wrong things.
Yeah.
If I want to speak up for trans people, I'm going to say the wrong things, and then they're going to correct me, and then I'm going to take that correction and I'm going to go and tell everybody else, yes. not to make that mistake.
Yeah.
And learn from my mistakes and hopefully unburden the trans community with educating people on shit that they shouldn't have to educate people on.
Right.
And that was a like invaluable lesson in how to handle that. But in general, you know, I've had like, you know, way too many moments to even pinpoint. You know, I met Harry Belafonte.
I was gonna say, give us some goddamn moments. What you mean? You got so many you can't name three?
No, I can name a bunch of them. I just meant like picking one.
Meeting
like,
Harry Belafonte is like a moment.
Is the moment.
I don't really like, fangirl like that, but when I met him, I was like, ah!
Oh man.
And he's like so chill.
Yeah.
He's just like super chill. Like
he literally
6 foot,
told me,
7 foot.
They were like,
foot
you
want to
get a picture with him? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I want a picture with Harry Belafonte. And he stands up and he stands next to me, and right before the picture, because I don't like to smile, because people like will take a picture, especially when they're like Getty Images or something like that. They take a picture right when you're like halfway smiling, and then they say they do this.
Can y'all see my face? Because you made
shit.
That up. This
they
is,
do.
No, that's some actory shit that you cooked up. Just smile, and then they take the picture.
The picture that they post is always like the shit, the in between smile or something like that. So I don't, or I'll look down and do it or something like that.
You're so actory.
I'm super actory.
And it's great because then it makes me never date you. And that's, I love it. It's like, it's a repellent and I love it.
But it's true. It's true for me. Like the pictures that I've seen posted of me when I smile are like, why did you do that one? Why would you ever in your life like think that I would be okay with that? And so like, I was trying not to smile. I was literally trying not to smile. And it's probably some other like, you know, toxic masculinity kind of bullshit as well. But I tried not to smile, and he leans over to me and he was like, I'll make you look good, huh? And I laughed, and that was the picture.
Like, yo, they be smooth in a bitch.
He's so smooth and he's so dope. And he got up there 90 years old or however old he is. I think in 2016, I think he was 90 or 87.
I mean, Pharrell Williams is 127 years old. So Harry Belafonte is at least 220.
And looks 20. And got up there and was campaigning and was going out. I was just like, I have no excuse. Mm-mm. He was on the stage for an hour. Dude was, it was him, Charlemagne.
Okay, Charla.
Charlemagne the guy, Bernie Sanders, and I think Nina Turner. And I was just like, in Harlem at the...
Harlem! My old stomping grounds.
What's
the Apollo?
At the Apollo. I was like, this is...
That's major.
Iconic.
Actually, that's where I met him too. What? Wait.
He lives there.
No. Was I there?
That's his house.
No, I mean, that's his house. He lives in the attic. Well, I think, though, it's like, it's always dope when we meet those folks because for a lot of us, it's like you just are taught history, you know? And, like, you see these images of the 60s, and it's like it can almost make you think, like, it was a movie, you know? But when you meet people like John Lewis and you meet people like Harry Belafonte and you meet Angela Davis and Nikki Giovanni and Elaine Brown, you're like, oh, like, you're, like, touching them. Like, you're, like, here. Like, that happened, and we're still here. And there's still work to be done, and you're able to, like, talk about it.
Do you know who Wyomia Tyus is?
No.
I have to say, I was blown away today. I went to this thing called Athletes for Impact, where they were honoring athletes who've made an impact. And, like, it's a organization, but who've made, like, impact on social justice. Mm-hmm. And I was... They were honoring John Carlos, who stood up there and held up his fist and made that huge iconic image and statement and was persecuted for it. And
it's in here somewhere.
And he was like, before she leaves, I wanted to honor. They named an award after him, the John Carlos Award. Mm-hmm. And the first person to ever receive it was Wyomia Tyus. And I was like, who is Wyomia Tyus? She is the first black woman to compete 100 meter dash in the Olympics, 1964. They thought she was not going to place. She got the gold.
Nah.
Then, and she dedicated her her award to the women that she trained with, which I can't remember their names right now, but and then I believe, and I might be getting the timeline mixed up, but because I just learned this like on the spot, I'm like, who is this woman? 1968, which is the one in Mexico City where
Juan Carlos
held his fist up. Apparently, she organized other Olympians to stand behind them and dedicate their medals to him. And since they couldn't, after 1964 Olympics, she got no press for winning that title, but they couldn't deny that she would place.
Right.
So she qualified again, won the gold again.
What?
This is
another Hidden Figures situation.
She is a hidden figure. And she's still alive.
And she's still alive.
And like,
I hate when I hear these stories.
Because
I'm
young.
Like, this is another hidden figure situation where it's like in plain sight and you just were never taught about the person because they never felt like it was important enough for you to know. And it was like purposely like sequestered. Wyomia Tyus. And how do you sequester a name like Wyomia Tyus?
I was trying to figure out where that name came from. I was trying to say it for you. Got it faster than me.
Wyomia Tyus sounds like my next clothing line. Like, what? You got that new Wyomia Tyus?
I do. It's dope.
Yo, they have a whole like silk line coming out.
Faux
it's
fur.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Vegan leather.
I only wear Wyomia Tyus when I fly.
Is she straight out of Atlanta? No, she grew up in Georgia during Jim Crow. She got up there and she said, I grew up during Jim Crow.
Then I won medals during Jim Crow.
The first black. And that reminded me of like, you know, everybody's like, oh, black people are the best athletes in the world and da 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 da. And I'm like, that was, while we have amazing athletes who are black, that was something that was created, a false narrative that was created to be able to sell, you know, and, you know, commodify black bodies and degrade them and make them all this kind of stuff.
Being woke is such a bummer sometimes.
I know. But it reminded me.
That's a side effect of being woke. Like,
but, you know, people think that,
y'all aren't the best. They just made that shit up to sell you. Fuck.
We are the best at a lot of things, but like it's going to be like runners are going to come from a specific tribe of a specific ethnicity in Africa. It's not going to be, you don't see Ethiopians taking over the 100 meter dash, you know.
But they be doing the marathon though.
They do. But I'm just saying, like, we're not.
But you know where the sprinters, like, right? No, it's true.
You get what I'm saying?
But Grenadians, sprinters and runners, okay? Laja Karani, Grenada to the wall.
I wanted to join in, but I didn't want to. I would think I would get it wrong and like probably like revert to Jamaica and then sound really bad and then get
Americans
torn up.
Because thinking that all West Indians are Jamaican.
I know. I apologize. I haven't been practicing my Grenadian.
There it is. Grenadian.
Accent.
Yep. There it is. I don't know. You became Indian real quick. Accent.
See, well, I apologize.
Well, Kendrick, I commend you, and I'm so glad that you were able to come through today and talk about the side effects of being woke. And I'm glad that for you, the side effects have been very positive, because I think it can be very taxing and trying, especially when we're like kind of leading like these double lives. We're like in this one business where it's like not woke at all. And then we're over here in this like country that's also like not woke at all. And so your energies are really being utilized and drained on a regular basis. And but I know I'll speak for you that I thank all of you all out there who do show support and who do the work and who do also just like represent the stuff that needs to get done so that, you know, everybody feels like we have to keep going, you know, because it's not all up to one person. It's not all up to one group of people. And it's just, it's tiring. It just really is. I mean, that's the irony of the word woke. Like, you're tired, you know, and some of y'all are so woke that you're actually sleepwalking. And I call those no-teps. Not ho-teps. No teps. And when they come on my Instagram, they're troll teps. So that's a whole other thing. But thank you so much for coming. And I can't wait for people to find out, you know, the mysterious way that we have come into each other's lives. And I can't wait for you to come back on Smart, Funny, and Black and like show up on time.
I will. And get sleep and set several alarms. And yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he overslept, y'all. That's the reason. All right.
I do have insomnia. I will say that. At least that. But I did.
You know why, though?
I fucked up.
You know why you got insomnia? Because
you woke all the time and don't sleep. But would we rather be tired and woke? Or tired?
I am tired and woke.
Or tired and not woke?
No, I would rather be tired and woke. Absolutely. Because ignorance is not bliss.
That was a high five.
Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is just ignorance. That's what it is. And the reality is that it doesn't last forever. And if you are willfully ignorant, then, you know, you are hurting other people, including yourself. And I don't think that's something that most people actually want to do. So shout out to Kendrick for helping to educate us and inform us. And we're going to wrap this up when we come back.
The last dose.
When it boils down to it, wokeness is simply about trying your best to try your best. And I think that's really where people get it mixed up. You know, that when I say that, it means being aware of all the things that are going on in the space of oppression. This is not interchangeable with, you know, white people knowing about like their own personal struggle. That's not what that's about. And I think it's important to acknowledge that, because words like this, you know, they get stripped of their power and of their meaning when they get homogenized into something generic. The word woke is really about being aware of all the things that are in your way that are based on oppressive means and trying your best to try your best to keep up with that and challenge it consistently. And you have to stay abreast of those things, as we say, stay low, stay firing, because they change and they affect you. And it is tiring. It is tiring. It can seem like thankless work and a fruitless effort. But one of the things to me that is the most depressing existence on this earth is one without purpose. And at least when you feel like you can make a change, it may not seem like the change that completely like shuts everything down. It may not be apocalyptic, but it may make this person's life a little easier. It may make your life a little easier, you know, and it may bring joy to someone's space. And I think like part of our understanding of wokeness is about the fact that we have to understand the overarching world that we in, and space that we're in, and what came before us and what's going to come after us and where we are right now, and that we're really just these beings on this pale blue dot. And the universe is so much bigger than we can ever conceptualize, and it's so much older than we can even fathom, and it's got so many more mysteries than we can even consider. But what we do know, we have to work with. And what we do know, we have to change. And what we do know, we have to challenge. That is what it is to be woke, to know that there are things in place that are not okay, and that you, by just being here, have the capacity to be a part of making them right. I wish you all the best. Let's all stay awake. Let's all do our best. And let's not get too stressed out in the process. But if the shit go down, you know what to wear. Because we are the Dashiki Chic. And not one of us had to go shopping for Black Panther.
It's a good show.